since you are the connection. And then Frank, you can. It's Dave. This is David Vance. And we'll see what God does.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
As Pastor Joe said, we're from the prison ministry. We're the Matthew 25:36 prison ministry. And I like to read that scripture to you, Matthew 25:36. This is why we do the prison ministry. It says, I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Let's go ahead and open up a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. You've always been so good to us. We pray today, Lord, that your anointing will be upon this prison ministry as we present it to the people here, Lord. We know that you'll get all the glory, honor, praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prison ministry has been sponsored by two churches, Lebanon First Assembly and Taylor Avenue. We're thankful to them. And Frank also wanted me to give a short testimony. And I've been doing the prison ministry for 11 years. And I enjoy it, and it's a blessing of God. As Frank and Dee, they always call me their oldest disciple. And I miss Frank, but he's with God. And one thing that stuck out with me all these years is there was a guy in prison for murder. And he said he didn't do it, and we believed him. So we prayed with him for a long time. And finally, the governor gave him a pardon because they didn't have the DNA testing back then. But he was innocent, so they let him out. And that really stuck with me all these years, that there's a reason why we go there, because God loves the offenders there, and Jesus died for them too. So I'd like to hand it over to Brother Greg. He wants to give a testimony.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, everybody. As he said, my name is Greg. I'm going to give a testimony of how I got into prison ministry. I haven't always been a great guy. There's been a lot of times I've been pretty bad. There's a couple of times maybe I should have ended up in prison myself. God has forgiven me. I've asked forgiveness of a lot of people. The one that matters the most, besides Jesus, is my wife. She's also involved in the prison ministry with us. We started attending assembly, or first assembly, because my wife went there on a fluke one evening and happened to be a men's encounter return. And she couldn't see anything that awesome happening in our lives because I had a girlfriend and she had an attorney. And we were, you know, divorcing. It was horrible. It was bad. But that was a men's encounter return. So one thing led to another, and God brought us back together. He didn't just bring us back together. He reformed our marriage into something he wanted it to be. Well, I was working in Springfield at a call center. And I don't know if anybody's ever worked at a call center, but that'll give you migraines just by itself. But I was suffering pretty bad from migraines. And we were at church one day. It was a day that I was semi-okay. And Reverend Davetta Lester walked up to me and handed me a card for the prison ministry. And she was led by God to give it to me. And I told her, you know, I got migraines and everything. I don't know if we'll be able to do it. Well, it was, what, about a year later, babe?
It got worse.
I was stuck in my bedroom with the windows covered and the lights out for almost 2 months. It was that bad. The Headache Care Center in Springfield gave me, they did everything they could. They gave me injections of all kinds. They even gave me Botox in my head, and nothing was working. Well, Brother Charlie Milhauser had a class that we were attending, and it was on the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the classes was, well, he gave some Bible verses to read and to study, and said to pray, and then come in the next Wednesday, and they would have healing. Well, I couldn't read. I couldn't. I couldn't focus my eyes or anything. I couldn't hardly do anything. We walked in there, and he said, for those that need healing, come up here. So I went up there, and our pastor, Pastor Ryan, Charlie Milhauser, and another pastor, retired pastor, prayed for me. And finally, one of them said, if you don't lift your hands and accept this healing that God's giving you, you're not going to get healed. So I did. I haven't had a migraine since. I've had headaches. But shortly thereafter, God has a purpose for everything. Shortly thereafter, we actually got to start in the prison ministry. The training was long but fun. We got to go up to Jefferson City, got to work on the car in the rain, had a lot of blessings, and it was great. We got to meet a lot of people. When we go to the ministry, we go to Algoa, which is ACC, which is right next to JCCC, which is the maximum security. We go to minimum security. And the people we go and visit, the reason it's called minimum security is they have less than 5 years of time to serve. So we go and we see them. These are people, some have been in for, a year. Some have been in for their entire lives, except for the point where they went in. Some of these people are just finding out what computers are. They don't know what a smartphone is. These people that we go and see have been cut off basically from society. They've been cut off from other people. They've been cut off from God. These people, we call them offenders. The offenders, they're seeking, they're searching. Even the ones that won't come in the chapel, you'll see them walk by and, they'll have a look on their face. They want to come in, but they're scared to. They're afraid of what those other offenders are going to say. They're afraid that the guards might hassle them. They're afraid that there's no way Jesus can forgive them because of what they've done. It's hard. When these guys come in yesterday, we had 28 offenders in there. So that's a pretty big crowd, let me tell you. Because there's sometimes that we go in and we might have five or six plus the worship team. But we had 28 offenders, and it was awesome. As Frank pointed out, it was the most new people he's seen come in at one time. There were six of them that raised their hands, and there were a couple that came in after that I'd never seen them before. But when we go up there and we talk to these guys, we always pray to let Jesus be the light, not us. Because I know I make mistakes really bad. As I said, I haven't been a good guy. I had a girlfriend and I was divorcing my wife. And God brought us together for the prison ministry, for his ministry. If he can do that for us, he can do that for them, and he can do it for anybody. Well, I talk a lot. That's one of the things that I do on the way up there is I always keep everybody busy with my talk. But I'm going to turn it over to Reverend Devetta Lester, and she's going to give the exhortation.
Good morning. When I heard Greg speaking about our offenders, and so the reason we don't call them prisoners or inmates is because they are offenders. They have offended the law of the land, but most of all, they have offended the law of God. When you speak of prisons, right away, people, they get a bad taste in their mouth about a prisoner. But those young men, they are somebody's son. They are somebody's father. They are somebody's husband. But most of all, they are children of God that have went astray. One of the questions I asked them is, how many times have you prayed before you got here? Most of them say none. Then I asked them, how many times have you prayed since you've been here? They say a lot. You know, sometimes God has to push you up against a wall to get your attention. And he gets their attention. They are waiting at the chapel door for us to come and unlock the church to get in. They are wanting to hear more about God and God's acceptance of them. My exhortation is going to be about unbelief. You have to excuse me, I walk when I talk. A king who did not believe in the goodness of God had a servant who in all circumstances would always say, "My king, do not be discouraged, because everything God does, he makes no mistakes. God is perfect." One day they went hunting, and along the way a wild animal attacked the king. His servant managed to kill the animal but could not prevent his majesty from losing a finger. Furious and without showing his gratitude for being saved, the nobleman asked, "Is God good? If he was good, I would not have been attacked and lost my finger." The servant replied, "My king, despite all these things, I can only tell you that God is good. And he knows why these things happened. What God does is perfect. He is never wrong." Outraged by the response, the king ordered the arrest of his servant. Later, the king left for another hunt. This time alone, he was captured by savages who engaged in human sacrifices. On the altar and ready to sacrifice the nobleman, the savages discovered that their victim was missing a finger. According to them, only a whole person could be accepted by their gods. They had to have, his or her had to have all their parts. The king without a finger was deemed an unfit sacrifice for their gods, so they released the king. I'm going someplace with this, just hang on. Upon his return to the palace, the king authorized the release of his servant. He received the servant affectionately. He asked his servant, "My dear, God was really good to me. I was almost killed by the wild men, but for lack of a single finger, I was let go. But I have a question. If God is so good, why did he allow me you in jail?" The servant answered, "My king, if I had gone with you on this hunt, I would have been the one sacrificed instead because I have no missing finger." See, God, he is never wrong. He made you keep me in jail so I would not be with you on the hunt. You see, often we complain about life and negative things that happen to us, forgetting that nothing is random and that everything has a purpose. Every morning, offer your day to God. Don't be in a rush. Ask God to inspire your thoughts, guide your action, and ease your feelings. And do not be afraid. God is never wrong. 2 Samuel 22:31 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him." Do you know why this message is for you? I don't know, but God knows, because he never makes mistakes. God knows why he chose all of you to receive this message. To bless someone with it, because God is never wrong. Without any further to do, welcome Big Frank. Oh, I'm sorry. In the prison ministry, we had two Franks. My husband was Reverend Frank, and he was Big Frank. So we welcome Big Frank Jennings. Give him a big hand. See, God is never wrong.
Well, what do you think?
Amen.
Amen? Maybe that's something you'd like to get involved in. It's challenging. It's not always fun, but it is rewarding. Very rewarding. Amen. I think the first time in my life I'm speechless. Just about don't know what to say. Praise God. Well, let's just stand for a minute and let's just worship the Lord again for just a minute. Before I start in with what I have here, let's just invite Him to anoint my lips. Oh, God, we just praise You today, Lord. God, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your anointing. We thank You for what You're doing to hearts today. We thank You for, oh God, for what You're doing in the prisons and on the streets. We thank You, oh God, for what You're doing in this church, Lord, in this body, and across America today. God, that You're pouring out Your Spirit upon Your church. God, that You're going to equip Your church. That we're not going to go down in defeat, God, but we're going to go out in victory. That You're going to have a glorious church, a church without spot or wrinkle. You're going to have a church that's going to be overcoming. And praise You, oh Lord Jesus, for Your anointing power. We just thank You this morning, God. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You, God, for Your presence. We thank You for Your presence, God. We thank You for the anointing, God. We thank You for Your outpouring, God. We thank You, oh God. We thank You that we're not in prison and locked up today, God. God, that we've got our freedom. We've got our freedom to be in, oh God, to go to bed. McDonald's after church. We've got our freedom. Oh God. My God, we've got our freedom in You. We just thank You, God. We just worship You today, God. We give You the glory and the honor today, God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, move, Lord. Oh, God, move today, God. We praise You and magnify You, God. We worship You, God. Oh, God, we thank You today. We thank You today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Your royal priesthood." Turn to somebody today and shake their hand, slap them on the back, punch them in the face, something. Tell them their royal priesthood today. Hallelujah, Jack, your royal priesthood, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're royal priesthood. Praise God. Praise God. We've got our liberty today. We've got our liberty in the Lord today. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not bound. We're not bound by Satan today. We are overcomers in the Lord today. Praise the Lord. I feel excited. Wow, I don't get to do much of this in prison sometimes, but I've got my liberty here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I was preaching here a while back. You can be seated. I was preaching here a while back, and I was preaching, what was it, blind Bartimaeus? And I got to yelling, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And I got loud. I never got that loud before. And I don't know, but I look back and a CO was standing in the back of the room looking out. I don't know if he thought I was hurting or yelling. But I thought, boy, I just kind of, you know, I'm like, I better calm down a little bit. I better calm down. The CO, he wears the white shirt and he's in charge. He's the big guard. He's not just the guard over the house. There's many houses. It's a camp. It's a, you think of, you know, Nazi war camp. It's all wire. And, yeah, tall fences, and you come in the front door from the parking lot, you sign your names, you go through two sliding iron doors, and you sign your name, then you go through a couple more doors, you go through a metal detector, they search your goods, and they boot you out into the field and slam the door behind you, and you walk across the compound. And then you mess up, and you've got this little squealer box if somebody starts to offend you from an offender, that you pull the string and it squeals. And I walked out the gate, and I'm fumbling around because they just gave me back my stuff, and whoop, pulled the pin, and the thing's laying on the ground, and it's going, and there's an offender standing by me, and I'm putting the pin back in it, and the guards are kind of like, what's that moron doing down there? You know, I've never seen him. He must be a first-timer. You know, I was a little nervous, just a little bit. And so I got the pin back in there, and they're looking, and the fender goes, whew, man, why they didn't tackle me? He took off. but we have to walk. And the first two times I went in as a visitor, I got to go in with Reverend Frank, Elder Frank, and Sister D. And I'm telling you, it's a long journey across that compound. It's a long journey. Probably a good football field or so, maybe further. And so it's in a circle. The compound's in a circle, and the building's set up around it. And down at the end is a chapel and then the lunchroom. But they've got different wards for each different criminal, some on work release, some of them the whole. They don't get to see much if they've been naughty. And so we make this long trip down there, and they're, you know, all the eyes are up on me, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, will I ever get out of this place again? And I'm like, Brother Frank, he can't run very fast, but I know she's pretty spunky. You know, I can at least outrun Brother Frank. I might not be able to outrun Sister D, but I can outrun him. You know, they maybe they get stumbled up on him, and I can make it to the guardhouse. Oh, Lord. Anyway, a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun sometimes, and sometimes it's not very fun. Sometimes the days are long. You know, it's a whole day, and it's a Saturday. And, you know, and it's really hard when you've had 2 weeks of bad weather, and the weekends are nasty. And it's time to get up, and you're showering and getting ready, and the sun's up, and it's 70 degrees, and it's beautiful outside. And your wife's sitting over there, and I'm just going, see you later, you know. And you come in about 6 that night, but you know, the rewards. It's the rewards that God, you know, laboring for God isn't always fun sometimes. Sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it's enduring, making them trips to Jeff City for this kind of training, and you got to go up for interviews, and you got to go through all the paperwork. And Sister D has had numberable people went through their training, went through these process, never go pick up their IDs. You know, a whole group just didn't go. Got through most all of it, because by the time you get through the training, that is the most discouraging part, because they go in and they tell you how bad these people are and what a waste of society and how they're going to con you and how they're going to trick you and how they're going to make, you know, convince you to do this. And, you know, the training, they that's what they make them feel like. But I'm glad I already had some visitations up there before I went to my training. Amen. Because when we got there, it wasn't like that. You know, we're not supposed to hug them. We're not supposed to touch them. We're not supposed to have any kind of contact. But we shake every one of them's hand that come in, because they're brothers. You know, they're brothers because they've accepted the Lord. And they're faithful. I mean, they're faithful. They don't have to be there. They don't have to come to our service.
It's, you know, they've got baseball games going on Saturdays. They've got baseball games. They've got different things. We went one time and they had a bike show, and a Christian bike show, and they're like, well, there's probably nobody going to show up for your service, but you can go ahead. We had more that day. We even had the chaplain to show up because he's never around on Saturday. The only time I ever seen him is training. But, you know, you just never know. You never know what to expect. I'm going to read something here out of 1 Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter. God has given me a lot of scriptures today. In the last few weeks, Pastor Joe is a very generous man. He gave me a lot of time to prepare, which sometimes I think if he'd just tell me and I'd just get up and do it, it'd be easier than thinking about it. But he gave me a lot of time, and the first scripture that came to me is the one I'm going to use. But I've got a lot of scripture since then. But it's funny, I went right back to the first scripture that God gave me. And it's chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Now I've got to find it. It's moved. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. God did not save you to sit in darkness. He said you are royal priesthood. You are a chosen nation. Royal priesthood, not just priesthood, but we are royal priesthood. There's a difference even in that. We're not just the priesthood. We are the priesthood. We are the royal priesthood. God has always looked for a people to show forth his praise. God always looked for a people, a generation, a remnant of people who will show forth his praise. Praise God. I drink and preach at the same time. It's, at least it's holy water. I think it's been blessed by some spring somewhere, microfiltered. Reverse osmosis, that's good stuff. But we are a royal priesthood, a chosen. I come here to tell you today that you're not losers, but you're overcomers. You can, you know, I go to prison. I don't tell them they're murderers and thieves and rapists. So I don't even know if they are. I don't ask. Don't ask, don't tell. If they tell, it's up to them, because I do not ask. I do not want to judge them. I do not want to know their crimes, because then I will hate them or have the possibility of judging and criticizing them and not caring for them. But we are to show forth God's praise. We are to show forth the presence of God. We carry in these earthen vessels the presence of God. You carry the presence of God in your life. Wherever you walk, you don't have to go into the prison to say, oh, I've been to ministry. You don't have to go to the homeless to say, I've been into ministry. But you carry the presence of God in your life. So anywhere you are, when you're on a job being overheard by somebody, when you're on a job somewhere, when you're around your family, I thank God I was raised in a godly family, because those who get saved in ungodly families have got a huge hurdle to overcome. They face great obstacles. great obstacle. It's hard enough to come out of a godly family serving God. I can imagine trying to grow up in a family that don't even believe God, that's alcoholic or whatever. But we are God's. We are a chosen generation. We are a chosen people to carry forth God's presence. God always wanted a people to carry forth His presence. He called Abraham. Abram, go out and look, and all the ground I give you is yours. He come out of his father's house, and he went out. God called him out of his old age, and he had a son, Isaac. And God and Abraham still dwelt in tents. Isaac dwelt in tents. Jacob dwelt in tents. And they ended up in Egypt. The promises God made some 400 years ago was still in effect to that day. Where was the promises at in their lives? God has made promises unto you, but you've got to realize you're royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a selected people of God. God selected Abraham and unto his seed, and he brought Abraham out, his seed out. He brought him out of Egypt into a land. And finally, God gave him a king called David, who established worship. He established worship. And he brought forth Solomon out of David, who brought forth royalty and splendor, who brought forth the tabernacle or the temple of God. There was no temple ever before or ever like that. And God called them to be a light unto the world. God called them out of darkness. He has called each one of us out of darkness. He's gave us all something. He's put something in our heart. He's called us royal priesthood. Even in this darkened life that we live, even whenever our laws and things change and persecution comes to the church, He still called you out of darkness. He didn't call you into fear, but He calls you to be overcomers. What was the great man said that the only thing like the fear is the fear itself? I see so many people in church. Oh, the mark of the beast is coming. It's coming. It's coming. And 50 years later, they're dead in the grave. And they say, I haven't seen the mark of the beast. Oh, they're going to take away this. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And they live in a fear instead of living in victory. They live in fear. We live so many times, we live in fear than living in victory. That's why I say today, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, selected by God to show forth His praise. If you can't praise God and show forth His praise, then who's going to? He said He will have the rocks to cry out for Him. God called you for a reason. He put worship in your heart, and He's breaking bonds through your worship. He's going to break some things in your life because God called you for a worshiper. You're anointed to worship. It's going to bring you through things. It has brought you a long way, but God has put it in your heart. God put it in our hearts to show forth His praise, and He's anointed you. He's anointed you. Not everybody seems to have that anointing, but there's certain people who's got an anointing, and you have got the anointing upon your life. That when you worship, chains are broken in your family and people around you. And God's going to bring healing because of worship. Always worship the Lord. When you pray, worship the Lord. When you thank God, worship the Lord. and lift your hands and give him glory, because he breaks chains through the worship. He wants people to show forth his praise, but he also wants people who will be intimate with him and find the closet, find a secret place. We don't have to go out and show off in front of people, but we have got to be a place where we're intimate and personal. It's not always about being in front of people and shoving it in their face, but it's sometimes it's being in the presence of God. We get the presence of God, and it radiates off our lives. It radiates off our lives. Because there's something about royalty. I see people, there's some people that just come out of families. I don't know what it is about them. I don't know if it's the right manicure. But they can be in work clothes. They can be, their hair can be sloppy. But there's something you can say, they just don't fit that picture. They just don't fit that picture. You know, they've come out of a rich family or something. I just know there's always something about them. I don't know if it's their shoes. Women would know that. You know their shoes. It might be their belt buckle. Maybe it's the diamond ring on their fingers. I don't know, but there's certain people, you know, that they've got money. But when you've got royalty, when you've got the blood of Christ running through your veins, and you are a holy, you need to act like it. You need to act like you're royalty. You need to act like you've got blood of Jesus running through you. You need to act like that. And the sooner you start acting like it, the sooner people will start recognizing it, and they will be drawn unto that. Criticizing, condemning, and judging only drives people away. Yeah. I go to prison, and if I got up there and said, well, you're going to go to hell if you don't change, they already know that. Nobody has to tell them that. Right. You're going to pay for your crimes. They know that. They're already praying for the crimes. Nobody has to tell them. Nobody has to tell that drinking's bad or different things are bad. I mean, this bottle of water is probably bad. It's got probably a certain general warning somewhere on it. I don't have to preach that. Condemnation and hatred. Prove my point that I'm better than you. I'm no better. I just serve a better God. I serve a better God. You need to learn who my God is. You need to learn who my God is. When you come to a place of royalty with God, when you come into an intimate relationship, there's no demon that wants to be around you if you're happy. You need to tell your body that you're saved and happy. Tell your body it ain't got no problems. Tell your mind it ain't got no problems. Declare the word of God over your life. You need to declare the word of God. You think you've got problems? You go down to St. Louis with me. You go down to St. Louis. Them prisoners, they ain't got no problems. They got 3 squares a day, a roof over their head. So that's what Sister D tells them. And then when they leave, they better, well, I won't go there. That's your line. I'll leave it to you. But they're going to get out, and they're going to go back to a worse environment than where they're at. And these guys that we minister to, one of them come up to me once, and he said, I need you to pray. I'm going to get out, and I don't know what my family's going to do with me, how they're going to treat me. He'd been saved and redeemed, faithful. They suffer persecution for their faith. The Muslims in there right now are always targeting the young. But we've got people in there that's fighting back. We've got minister, we've got evangelist inside. They're wearing gray clothes, and it says offender across the front, and their number is so-and-so. And we're supposed to address them by their last name only. I don't remember that all the time. But they're working for the Lord. In the back room, one of them's got a Bible and he's got a young man with him. And he said, come back here. He's never accepted the Lord. Pray him through. And this young man testifies and talks about the haunting of his soul. The same one that's witnessing in the back room is testifying about the haunting because he killed his brother with a steak knife. How would you like to live with that? I don't know how he did it. I don't know why he did it, but he did it. And he's a young man. You think you've got problems and things to live with? Try living with that. But we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called to show His glory and His praise, called to be witnesses, called to be lovers of people. And I've walked down in St. Louis at a market, and along the street there's beggars. No different than back in the day. Running up to you, hey, you got a couple bucks? And you're running from them, turning a deaf ear. And you get home and you're praying. You know, you go down there for a weekend and you're enjoying yourself. And it's like, why does these people have to be in my way? Why do they have to run? They're creepy. They're messed up. They smell. Their eyes are glazed over from whatever. It's like, why do they have to be messing with me? I'm having a fun time. I'm off on vacation kind of thing. You know, the weekend, St. Louis, the zoo, going to go to the farmer's market and going to, you know. I'm not even off the beaten path. I'm down here where the public is, and there's beggars because they know that's where money is and people's coming to buy. And I get home. Well, matter of fact, you know, I leave and go down the street, cut across the light, go back around, make a way back around to get to my car so I don't have to face them. Because they're going to, you know, they're going to want a dollar or something. And I get home, and the next day, I'm, you know, just having my time with the Lord, reading and enjoying His presence, and then He smites me. You know, I'm just enjoying the Lord's presence and how good it is, and oh, I made it home safe, and all, you know, I got a few things from the farmer's market, and well, we had a great weekend, seen elephants and everything, and God smites me. And He says, you know, you've prayed, and 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 you prayed. How can I reach people, God? What must I do? What can I do? And I prayed and prayed. And God gives you a vision in 1 second, and you realize you've missed it altogether. But see, I wasn't ready for it until that 1 second. God made me ready. God says, you're running from the very people that you need to be going to. You're wanting a minister, and somebody's coming to you wanting a dollar, and you're going to run, and you go down to the zoo, and you buy peanuts and whatever, and spend all that money, and you won't give a dollar to somebody? And God gave me a vision. And visions are scary. Oh, they're great and they're fun when you're getting them. And it's like the glory of God in the presence of God. Just me and God and this vision. And it's like, oh, yeah, God. Oh, all this love come in your heart. And oh, man, I can love on these poor people. And oh, God. And so I go back to St. Louis a month later or so. And this vision's still in my mind. And I put money in. God said, told me, instructed me how to do it. So I put some money in my pockets, and we drove down there. And I thought, I'm going to get out, and I'm going to win the world. And got down there, and it's closed. It was a Sunday morning. They're not open on Sunday mornings. How do you like that? I thought, well, I'm not even going to go to church this morning. I'm in St. Louis. We love to go to church in St. Louis. And I'm going to go to church. And I thought, I'm not even going to go to church. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to pass out dollars and pray. And nobody even there. But you know, a month or two goes by. I go back to St. Louis. And I got up there, and I had almost forgot until I got there. And I thought, I didn't even get no money. And I started feeling around, and I thought, oh, I've got, you know, I got money here and there. And so I put it all together. So I went in the farmer's market, and I'm looking down the streets. And I thought, there ain't even nobody here. And then I come out, and I took the long way around to the car this time, not to avoid people, but to find people. And you wouldn't believe what a little bit of money opens doors. And I was able to walk up to people and stop, kind of slow down as I walk by. And they're like, hey, you got a couple of bucks, you know. And they're young people, glazed over. Glazed over. Are we not royal priesthood? A holy nation called of God? So I looks at this guy, and I'm standing there. I don't know what to say to these guys. And so I'm sitting there waiting on the Lord, and pretty soon I start telling him, well, you know, I do ministry. I go to prisons. And I just start telling him about myself a little bit. And I said, I go to prisons, and I said, I'm giving back to my community. I'm giving back to my people. I said, God has brought me out, and I testify about things God's done for me and what all he's done for me and where he's brought me. And I said, you know what? I believe God can bring you out, and you can do the same thing that I am doing. That God will finance you someday that you may give to somebody else. See, this gospel is a thing that we pass on, not keep to ourselves. We don't strut around and call ourselves royal priesthood because we think we look good. We were called royal priesthood because God chose us to do something. God called us. He called Abraham, and they become a great nation for all people to look at and to follow for example. But sin got involved. And they collapsed. But if we keep Christ the center of what we're doing, it will not collapse. But I was able to minister to like 5 or 6 men at bus stop and different things just in a half a block circle. And I had one guy, I was praying for somebody who got busy, and I was praying for one guy and giving him, you know, a little bit of money. And I handed another guy some money, and I handed some guy money, and I was praying for him. They was wanting the prayers. Yeah. They was loving the testimonies. And I started walking off. I turned my back, and I got about here to the door, and I heard one of the men goes, hey, wait a minute. And I'm like, what? And I turn around like he's yelling for me. He said, you didn't pray for me. I thought it was all about the money, see? Oh, I give them money. Yeah, they'll let me pray for them. You know what? I was praying for most of them before I even gave them money. But that little bit of nothing that God funds us with goes a long ways. You wouldn't believe what a little bit goes a long ways when you're talking about somebody. I don't know what they're going to do with that money. I don't care what they do. God told me not to worry about that money. That was God's money. If they used it for whatever, yeah. They use it for whatever. But if we carry the anointing, if we're priests of God in holy nation, and when we lay hands on them people, do we not believe that God's going to change their lives? God is going to touch them and save them, Jack, on the job? God's going to minister to them because we are a holy people. We carry the anointing of God in our lives. And if we're going to change the world, we've got to get out and find some people to change. We carry, cover it up in our hearts. It just becomes sour and bitter. Then we're fighting amongst ourselves. As long as we're busy pressing forward, we forget about the problems around us. We forget about Bucket Mouth sitting next to us or Miss Who and Who, whatever. We forget about those problems because we're on a common purpose. We've got to have a common person's purpose, and that's to win the lost. And it may not be prison for you. It may not be the streets of St. Louis, but it may be your family. And first of all, it may be your children. He said, start in Jerusalem. Start in Jerusalem. And that's where the power and the anointing fell, when they waited in Jerusalem. And then it carried out. It carried out. You say, oh, I'm going to go overseas and save the lost. We've got people right here we need to save. Maybe God will raise you up and take you overseas. I don't know where you're going, what God's called to you, or you too. Why don't you stand with me? The team wants to pray with you today. You say, I don't know.
These guys sometimes forget, I guess, because it's been a couple months that I haven't been with the ministry because of work issues. But I'm also with the ministry. And when Kenny said that we shouldn't be afraid, that our God protects us, it strikes such a chord with me. I walk into that place knowing that I am protected. There's the guards and there's the COs, and they are nothing. They are not what keeps me safe in there. And even if something were to happen to me, I know that it will be okay. I've had a bit of a confrontation with an offender, and I was okay. And we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid to walk through the valley. There is no valley when you have a mighty God who shines his light everywhere. I was so grateful when Dee invited us to be in the ministry. My husband may make it sound like he was the one who said, yeah, okay, but I was the one who said, let's do this, because my real fear is children. And I wanted to serve the Lord so bad. And he gave me this opportunity, and I am so grateful for it. I have learned so much more than I could sitting in a church. I have learned so much more than I could taking care of a bunch of little kids that would just make me nervous and crazy. I have grown so much from this. And when the Lord leads you to a place, he will lead you through it. And it is really wonderful. And never be afraid of where the Lord leads you, because there's no need. He's in control. He's going to protect you. And if you listen to him, you will be rewarded. You will be rewarded so richly. I'm going to give it back to Frank now. I just felt like I wanted to say that. Thank you for your time.
Let's stand together this morning as the worship team plays. Hallelujah. You know, you may be here today and you may be backslidden. God may be speaking to you. You may be here and you may feel like, I don't feel like royal priesthood. Life's been tough, you know, life's been tough on a lot of us. I've lost the vision many times. You know, You might say, well, I would like to do more, but I don't feel like I have the courage. I don't have the strength. If that's you today, if you've got a need, I've asked him to come today with me to pray, and because it's not all about me. When Pastor Joe asked me to come up and preach, first thing I thought of is we need to get Dee to come over and give her some honor, because there's not much honor in what we do. Not in the church world. We don't get much honor. And I thought, these guys, they need a little honor. They need a time of glory, a time to be able to get in front of the church. And you know, but they've come with me today to pray. And if you've got a need today, you want to be prayed for, why don't you come forward today? Hallelujah.